Anna Delvey, the wrath for an ex-con, will not be heard at this time, so that we may seek out this worthy replacement.
This is Gordon Pepper, and boo!
What are you
that
blowing?
That one was a little spacey. Yes, but we're going today where no other game show podcast has gone before. You see what I did there?
I see.
Anna, Anna Delvey and Uranus?
Good night, everybody.
But seriously, we're entering the final frontier of Big Brother. We're entering the beginning tiers of Survivor. John Lovett's entering the final frontier for a different reason. And we have all sorts of toilet stuff, which you can consider being the final frontier or not. But we have 2 weeks to go through, and we have a ton of stuff and not a lot of time to do it. So, Chico, please.
That just seems to be our life nowadays. From somewhere in America, the Welcome to Fall edition of WLTI is on. Let's go.
Whee, let's do it. Welcome to episode 462 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and challah eater. Along with Gordon Pepper and Chico Alexander. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Happy Rosh Hashanah, Jason.
Thank you very much, but we need to catch up on what happened at Radford.
Previously on Big Brother.
Okay, so last time we were at the house, Quinn did not realize that he was coming. But then we were surviving Janky World. So what happened is that Angela and I believe it was Rubina were on the block in Janky World. But then Mackenzie wins veto and takes Angela off the block and puts T-Core on, and T-Core gets voted out. I believe it was 4-2, I think. Okay. So then what happened is that Mackenzie, I believe, then won HOH. Just double check me here.
Yeah, Mackenzie won HOH and nominates Angela and Chemo for eviction, with Angela being the target. Vince Wild robot competition, and then, much to a bunch of shock, Leah is the replacement nominee.
When.
Chemo is vetoed off the block. And then a deep fake of Julie appears and sends messages to the house guests.
Yes. And then right before the vote comes out, and then the second vote comes out, and then Leah goes out unanimous. But then they realize it's a double eviction.
That's where we'll pick up today on Big Brother.
Take it, Chico.
What I'm going to do next, I can't even say on this show.
Go for it, Chico.
All right, so we've already picked up where Leah is evicted on the first unanimous vote of the season. In the HOH competition, Chelsea wins on a tiebreaker. She then nominates Angela and Chemo for eviction. All six house guests compete in the veto, which Chemo wins. He takes himself off the block, and Chelsea names Rubina as the replacement nominee. And in the second live vote, the second unanimous vote, Angela will join Leah in
and
the jury.
T-Core in the jury house. But first, they need to go to the WLTI
Losers
Lounge Couch.
Yes, it's WLTI Losers Lounge Couch. We have comfortable seating, remote control, freedom. Sit between soft-ass cushions, cup holders, a very own cubby hole, and an e-reader preloaded with a copy of the Double Dare Gamebook from 1989, as well as the Club Gordon banger of the week, Gordon?
It takes two to make a thing, no right.
Yeah. In this case, it takes two to go out the door.
Yes, it does.
Oh, I love Miami freestyle. You know this.
Yes, go on.
You want snacks? We got snacks. We got Cooper's, Raisin Hats, Pretzels, Oreos, Freeze, Chewy Threes, Hot Cheetos and Takis, Chilled Reese's Cups, Pizza, Pizza, Food Pies, Funyuns, Fun Dip, Garrett, Chicago-style popcorn. If you're thirsty, we have the drink that'll cure your little loser thirst. We have Coke, Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Sprite, Snapple, Unsweet Grapefruit Red, Nuts, Peppers, Storm, Simply Cranberry, Tang, Red, Kool-Aid, Sunny G, Purple Stuff, Purple Drink, Four Loko, ASW Root Beer.
Throw in the alcohol in there, too. Good stuff. Good on.
And the number one snack combination is WLTI Losers Lounge Couch, Krispy Kreme, Classic Glazed Donuts, and Izzy Soft Drink. And the number one rule of the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch, you can sleep on it, you hog the cushion, but you do not hog the Krispy Kreme and Izzy Soda. Y'all don't come back now. Yep.
So the competition for head of household is the small, big hands, small building competition, which we've seen.
Yeah.
What they had to do was build a microchip, I believe it was.
Yes.
And guess who wins? Head of household. Go ahead, Chico.
Mackenzie wins head of household.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
TM Gordon. And she nominates Chemo and Rubina because she wants to take Chelsea and Cam to the end. The question is, and by the way, we do not have veto. Well, we do have veto results, but we don't do spoilers around here, do we? Not really.
No, we don't. It's like, okay, we have it, but we will talk about it on our next show.
Correct. So, Gordon, where are your thoughts at this point after all the shenanigans over the last couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, shenanigans are fun. Second of all, I'm not sure if those are the right moves. At least one of them definitely was. You need to get Leah out of the house. Angela, again, as I said, it's an easy win if you bring her with you. And as you said, Angela can win. No. There's no way she was going to win.
Nope.
Zero. She's not Taylor. She doesn't have that sort of charisma. She's not likable. And her social game strategy is a fail burger. And clearly it's a fail burger because she's no longer in the house.
Right.
Let me finish up here.
Yeah.
So there's two ways to play this game now, depending on how the jury is. If you like moves, Chelsea and Mackenzie are definitely there. If you like floaters, you have a Rubina who really hasn't done much. Cam definitely hasn't done anything. So how does the jury play? Do you want to keep the floaters in and bring them to the end? Or if the jury's going to play an emotional game, maybe you need to get rid of them and bring somebody in there again. Do you bring somebody that hasn't been playing the game, or do you bring somebody that's not likable? And we shall see.
We shall see. And the rumor is that the veto contest is the BB Comics contest, which we will see.
Yeah. My thing is, Chemo does not have a leg to stand on in the house right now, does he?
No, I think he does.
The only problem is that he's been nominated with his ally. So that would be a problem.
That would indeed
because right now, the people they need to take to jury are Rubina and or Cam and or Chemo, really. Okay. Because right now Mackenzie is a female version of Tucker with a lot more personality. Okay. Chelsea is very good, but I don't think she has enough to win right now.
Yeah, we were actually talking before the show. I'm going to make a comparison to Big Brother now to the MLB postseason. Yes, it's okay. Yes, it's very good to be very good, but it's even better to be hot. Mm-hmm. And right now, who is the hot team?
Mackenzie's the hot team right now, but the thing is that next week's is that veto. First of all, where the head of household means absolutely nothing. That's the final four.
Well, it doesn't mean absolutely nothing if it guarantees that you're getting to the final three.
Right.
But it means nothing in terms of any power that you have to eliminate somebody, because that power will be taken by the whoever gets power veto.
Correct. Yep. And we will definitely see what happens about that. So now you can play that theme that you wanted to deal with. Oh, Doctor, Price is Right at Night has come back in an absolutely mega way. So the opening opening episode was a global getaways where there were trips to all seven continents given away during the games. Okay.
Yep. It started with an Antarctic cruise.
It started with an Antarctic cruise. However, that wasn't the biggest thing that happened, and I am about to share it with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, because this is courtesy of Fremantle Media and everybody else. This is what happened. Well, why don't you tell the showcases beforehand? I don't want to show all the showcases. Why don't you tell the showcases?
Okay. So, our first showcase of the new season of The Price is Right at Night. Edward is going to bid on an infrared two-person sauna, infinity massage chair, an ice barrel cold plunge pool, $5,000, and a Subaru Impreza.
He bids $34,000.
Yes. He was the top winner. He actually passed it. Then we go to Christopher, who has a silverback basketball hoop and ball, a bar set with DJ equipment, and a BMW 230i.
Which, by the way, was the exact same one earlier on in the show, earlier on the daytime Price is Right. But this clip is courtesy of Fremantle Media, CBS Productions. Check it out.
Very funny, Edward.
All right, here we are.
Let's find out. Home spa, $5,000 in cash, and a Subaru Impreza in his showcase bid, $34,000. Actual price, $43,371. Difference of $9,371. Christopher, loved your showcase. Basketball hoop, DJ equipment, indoor bar, and a BMW 230i. You bid $52,500. Actual price. Okay, get ready. $52,534. Double showcase winner. Double showcase winner. Look at it. Nice. Off by $34. Wins a double showcase in prime time for a total of $120,358. What a night. Holy cow. This is a great show.
Wow. That was, okay, that was epic. What happened on Big Money,
It's the money takeover on week two of The Price is Right at Night. All right, it's all cash. We have
It's called Cold Hard Cash. That's what it was.
Cold Hard Cash. We have Plinko being played for $500,000.
And only won $4,000. Sorry.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. Then we have Pick a Pair played for $20,000.
Which was one.
Master Key played for up to $100,000.
And I like, by the way, very well done. 10, 20, and 70.
Yes, very well executed. Victor.
By the way, I would prefer 20, 30, 50.
I'd prefer 10, 30, 60. That's just me.
Okay. What do you think the right distribution is on that one, Jay?
I like 10, 20, 70 because, again, that third one, that's the big money one. So there shouldn't really be anything close to it.
Okay, good. Okay.
All right, I got you. And then we have $50,000 in half off, which was one. Safecracker.
No. But hold on. Victor actually wins 80 of the 100,000. He got the 10 and the 70. Not bad.
Not bad for not getting the master key. Then we have half off for 50,000, which was one.
Okay.
And then we have Safecrackers with 25,000 and a turntable with LPs.
Which was lost.
Oh.
Then you had To the Penny for 250,000. Okay. He has all five well, let's see. Oh my God. Wow. Okay. This is interesting. So he has interesting strategy. So he gets the first, gets the second, misses the third by one, gets it, and spends all four of his coins to win $100,000. Wow. And then
he stops.
You know, Gordon, that's very good. I like that.
That's one way of playing the game.
That's a beautiful way of playing.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's one of the advantages and disadvantages of big money. Anything. Because the advantage of it is, yeah, that's great, you're winning money. The disadvantage is if you want that big high-stakes moment, for example, that game and Pay the Rent, Because Pay the Rent, you can stop at 10 grand and be really happy with that. It's easy to get 10 grand retired. On Pay the Rent.
I think Pay the Rent's retired, as far as I know.
I don't know. I haven't seen Pay the Rent in quite a while.
So Jordan, who was the second half top winner, who won 50,000, has bids on the Shopping Spree of a Lifetime, which is a Yves Saint Laurent designer bag, an Apple suite of electronics, including iPhone 15, 256 iPad mini, MacBook Air, and then an Infiniti QX50 Pure. I believe that's an SUV, I believe. Let me just double check that. You have the second showcase, right?
I do have the second showcase. It is a trip to Aspen, Colorado, 5 nights at Sky Run Vacation Rentals Chalet.
It is an SUV. Yeah, it's an SUV.
And then we have a 10-day tour of France, and then a trip to Thailand, Hyatt Regency Bangkok, Sukhum Beach. I am not Thai. If I butchered the pronunciation, I apologize. But Harriet bids 32,000. Actual price 51,768. She's off by almost 20K there. Jordan, his showcase, he bid 55,010. Actual price, missed it by that much. 48,267. He's over, and Harriet walks away with $76,053 in merchandise.
Yes. And next week at Price is Right at Night is Cars, Cars, Cars. I believe it is all car games.
All car games. We actually have that in the date book, if you took a look.
Well, we will talk about that later. Now, Let's Make a Deal has returned. Nothing has really changed except the fact that everything's good, really.
Well, everything's always good.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, again, it's season 16. They're doing well, and we'll see what they're doing in primetime. Okay. Yes.
Meanwhile, for just before primetime, hey, Mr. Gilbert!
Oh, okay.
Backstage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
And I have some advice for all of my men out there. All of my men.
Mm-hmm.
Get you somebody that you will make two blowouts on and then dedicate it to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ryan Manton did. And by the way, I should preface this with a disclaimer. Ryan Manton is a fellow quizzer. It's a friend of mine. He's a friend of the site. We know him. We broke bread with him and all of that stuff. But yeah, it's like he had two blowouts earlier this week and dedicated them both to his wife.
Yes, who was a former Jeopardy player of her own. Okay. Yeah. and Ryan Manton. Oh, by the way, we also need to talk about last week's three-day champion, David Erb, who, by the way, nice, very good, competent champion, will probably be in second chance. So Ryan Manton on tonight's show.
Faces off against Scott Chang, an ER doctor from San Francisco, and Aaron Ward, a software developer originally from London, Ontario. And going into the final, it is not a blowaway, but Ryan is in front with 12,400. Scott has 11,800, and Aaron has 4,800. Still all of it to play for. The final Jeopardy category is...
Science! Okay.
Here's your clue. Physicist John Wheeler said he coined this term as a faster way to say completely collapsed objects.
I hope it's black hole. What is black hole?
Oh, yeah. This was like, give me... damn it, ask me a hard one. No. Gordon?
Okay. It is a black hole, right?
Yes.
I said...
Don't you... Be no, careful!
No. Jason, or Gordon, be careful now.
I said, what is being in a suntan booth with silicone?
Okay.
Because if it's too hot, it's definitely collapsible.
Good night, everybody! Mm.
I did not grab the low-hanging political fruit.
No, you did not. No. No, so Aaron couldn't finish it, but Scott and Ryan both got it right. Scott doubles up. Ryan wins by a dollar.
Okay, and, style?
Yep. 3-day champ, 67,379 going into tomorrow's show. And let me just tell you something. Jeopardy is back in a big way. Now, didn't they talk about the quote-unquote postseason?
Yes, they did. And if you're a fan, if you're a fan of tournaments, and a whole lot of other tournaments, I've got bad news for you. They're going to scale back the tournaments.
Well, yes, but.
Yeah. So this, according to Michael Davies, executive producer, he is going to see the tournament season lasts just 10 to 11 weeks. We have 2 weeks of second chance, which will feed into 2 week champions wildcard tournaments. And then the qualification period for the next tournament of champions will be 28 weeks of regular programming, with the October 2nd tape day, that is today as we are recording this, being cut off.
Right.
Wildcard tournament will include the two second chance winners, along with 13 other non-qualifiers. The winner of the wild card will earn the spot in the TOC. It is not confirmed how the 13 non-second chance players will qualify for the wild card. More on that as we get closer to showtime.
Right, and according to what I'm hearing, only two second chance competitions, if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, and one 15-player champions wild card, and the tournament place is going to be wrapped around February 17th if it starts on December 6th, and they want to have 35 to 36 weeks of regular play, which is good. I'm okay with that.
I definitely okay with that. And like you said, we may see David Erb, who won 3 games last week.
We might. But we need to go to the island. If you have the music.
I do.
I love when we have themes. It's all good.
It makes the show, you know, nice and easy to listen to, I thought.
So what happened tonight on the island? Because I haven't got it.
Let's go back to last week, where we have a reward immunity challenge where you have to work together to bring a heavy bag of rice from an ocean platform to a locked on the beach. One tribe member has to maneuver the key through a blind maze, cut open the bag of rice, and retrieve a ball. Three tribe members.
Oh, this was classic. This was great.
Yes.
get the ball through a snake track. First two tribes to land their ball on the target win immunity. Gata and Lavo win. TK's comments about Tuku's attitude regarding losing struck a nerve beyond Sue, and thanks to them. Gabe did use his idol on himself, but it was to no avail.
He didn't need Caroline, to.
Yeah, that's right. Tiana, Caroline, Gabe, and Sue voted out TK.
Rishiko, you didn't say the most important part of that whole episode.
What was the most important part of that episode?
Someone tried to hack a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that
he
was...
He got a big bag of rice. What are we going to do? We're going to take as much as we can and stick it in the pocket.
That would, you know what? That was great. Gordon, you're absolutely right. Who was the one who tried to snatch the bag of rice? Do we remember who?
I think it was Rachel.
It could have been Rachel, yeah. And Jeff goes, what are you doing? Just in the way Gordon would do it. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Putting rice in my pocket. Empty the pockets. Why? Because he goes, I appreciate the effort. You can't have it. Empty the pockets. Jeff Probst, that was an Emmy winning performance right there. For real.
Yes, it was.
It was absolutely terrific. So what happened this week?
This week, we are going to go on a boat on a journey. Kyle was selected at Tuku. Annika was going to Gata. And Rome earned the right for Lavo. At the little, quote, journey, they're talking about each other, talking about tribe dynamics. And then they have a task, an individual task instead of it together. At isolated locations, they were presented with three bags, one containing an advantage, two with a lose-your-vote punishment. They get one pick of the bag at first, and if it was a lose-your-vote, they could attempt to choose again. But if the second lose-your-vote is drawn to the advantage, they do not get a third pick, and they lose their vote for two tribal councils. Kyle lost his vote and decided not to risk losing a second one. Annika lost her vote. I thought so was good again. Rome won the advantage on his first draw, earning a steal your vote advantage.
Ooh.
Yes, so that's good to have in the back pocket. Now we go to our next challenge, where the tribes will have to race up and over obstacles in the water before finishing another puzzle. In addition to immunity, you're playing for tarps and hammocks. Gata took first, and Tuku took second, sending Lavo to tribal council for the first time, which got Teeny feeling some kind of way. Because, you know, tribal council is where all of the cards are laid out. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to figure out what side of the bread Teeny has her butter on.
So, what happens to tribal council?
They're waffling between decisions based on alliances, on those on the outside. But Rome plays his good-for-one council idol on himself. Rome's vote does not count. So, it goes Genevieve, Saul, Aisha. So, by a vote of 3-1-1, Aisha is eliminated.
Not a shock, really.
Yeah.
So there.
No,
is...
I mean sometimes you play too hard, and Aisha didn't play hard enough.
Right. And the thing of it is, first few days on Survivor is about tribal dynamics. You need to yes, you're playing for yourself, but you need to play with the team. She is not a team player.
No, and that's why she's gone. But we had a couple of weeks over on the workroom, and I will go over that. We had the Snatch Game of Love, with the guest judges Javier Ambrose and Javier Calvo. The mini challenge was to get in a 20 minutes quick drag and pose for a profile picture for Archer, which I believe is an LGBTQ dating app.
I believe you are correct.
Gallivaro won $2,500 and the Snatch Game of Love. Okay. Now, the Snatch Game of Love, and Gordon, I'm a little surprised at this. So, Queen Kong played a guy by the name of King Shlong. Gallivaro played Laura Leone, who I don't know who she is. Let's see. Laura Leone is a Mexican actress and singer. Okay. Kitty Scott Claus played Diana, Princess of Wales. And Nehelenia played Valentino. In the second group, Vanity Vane played Laureen, who is, I'm just looking, because again, I don't know these people. Oh, who won the Eurovision song twice. Oh, okay. You would know that, Gordon. Annie Oakley. Tessa Testicle played Suzanne Bartsch, who I kind of know who she is. And Pythia played the Greek god Zeus. So Kitty Scott Claus won the Maxi Challenge, and the runway theme was Eat Me. So the bottom two were Gallivaro and Vanity Vane. Now, Gordon, do you remember the awesome, awesome, awesome Designing Women Challenge? Okay.
Yes, of course.
Okay, the Designing Women lip sync. Okay.
Yes.
This one is up there because, well, wow, they
all
get to do
is Paramount Global with the clip.
Yep, play it.
Global All-Stars, stand before me. Ladies, this is your last chance to impress me. Save yourself from elimination.
Gala, I'm so sorry, girl, but your ice cream is melting, and I am the ice queen of the season. I'm gonna win this.
The time has come for you to lip sync for your life. Good luck, and don't it up.
I don't think they've ever done a song like this on Drag Race before. This lip sync is going to be iconic.
Phenomena.
So Gallivaro was eliminated, and then we get into last week's episode because we get the Maxi Challenge is star in an international roast. The runway theme was Blow Me Away. Kitty Scott Claus and Queen Kong won the roast, and they were roasting Michelle Visage. And Pythia is out. as this time goes on. So
the lip sync song was the less experimental I Drove All Night Celine Dion cover.
So we are down to how many?
One. We are down to the final six.
Right, which is Kitty Scott Claus, Queen Kong, Alyssa Edwards, Nehalenia, Tessa Testicle, and Vanity Vane.
And Vanity Vane needs to step her game up because now she is, what's the opposite of favorite? The dragon butt? Yeah, the dragon butt.
The under kitty.
The under kitty.
I love you, Gordon! I love you!
The under kitty. Wow. The under kitty. Wow. It took me a second. That's applause. Okay.
Hey, congratulations, Gordon. You just made a break for the network.
Good for you. But, okay. Okay, so it's time for 30 seconds of AGT. Chico, who won and why?
Richard Goodall, because he was a white guy with a guitar. And he was a very good white guy with a guitar.
And you also had a very good backstory.
Oh, very good backstory, too. So, backstory, guitar, and he can actually sing. So.
Well, Landon Eugene Murphy on line one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, there you go. This has been 30 seconds of AGT. And now...
30 seconds...
Let's class up the joint, shall we?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I'm going to be very honest with you. I believe that Anna Delvey was right.
No, Jay, lie to us.
No. Well, I believe Anna Delvey was right. Okay. Yes, the producers used them to jack up the ratings, and she learned nothing from it because she got eliminated in week one, which we said was going to effing happen. We knew this. Come on. Really?
One thing, ABC made the cardinal move of thinking that their audience was a bunch of idiots. They could smell a ratings ploy from a mile away, and what do? They get rid of the ratings ploy and turn it back into a legitimate competition.
Well, keep in mind, anybody that's a political character or a controversial figure usually gets shown the door after episode one, and if they don't, they're not much longer to the show.
Right, yeah. And by the way, this week was taken off with Dancing with the Political Candidates, because we're going to get Monday and Tuesday night next week. But I just have legitimate one question, you know, because honestly speaking, and I'm going to say this now, and I mean this for real. This is my worst reality show moment of the year. For real. This meant absolutely nothing. And Robert Mills, and yes, I am calling you out, you and ABC made a major mistake with this. You really did. And I don't know if you're going to be able to come back from it. Just me.
I'm going to disagree with that.
Okay.
Because it did what they said it was going to do. Which is have people talk about it, because there really hasn't been much to talk about in terms of Dancing with the Stars. So this did finally get people talking. There's your press buzz. It got people to watch the show, and it got people to see Anna Delvey leave. Now, let's see what the ratings does.
Okay. We shall see. We shall.
And remember, this is going to be the first, because usually it's on a Tuesday night, but upcoming is going to be the first Monday night Dancing with the Stars. Monday night, it is up against Monday Night Football, Monday Night Raw, all of that fun Monday stuff. So we'll see if it performs better on a Tuesday or on a Monday. My vote is a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we got a couple
of... Yeah, I don't know why they're sticking it on Monday night, but okay.
Because of politics.
Well, I mean, they're gonna try to counter-program. I'm not sure how well that's going to work, but we'll see. Anyway, Chico, moving on.
All right, we have two reviews. The first one is Last Bite Hotel, where we have a cadre of chefs checking in, 8 in total, checking in with 13 ingredients each. And they have to whip up a whole lot of orders from a whole lot of celebrity chef judges. We're talking about your Esther Choi's, your Kat Cora's, your Jose Garces, all of those people. Now, you are only given 13 ingredients that you will use for the entire competition. Now, that's not to say you can also gain or lose ingredients, but that is to be expected down the line. And of course, some of the chefs are really, really crafty about this. We have one chef who brought an entire suckling pig as an ingredient. These are geniuses. These are absolute geniuses.
This reminds me of a combination of like Cutthroat Kitchen and there was some hotel show, I forget which. I don't remember exactly, but
This is basically Food Network's answer to the latest trend of mystery games and characters as hosts. The Traitors and Alan Cumming, because Titus Burgess definitely gives, as the hotel manager, an Alan Cumming vibe. And the thing of it is, I've seen enough of Titus Burgess to know this is who he is. He's playing the role he was born to play, and the show is better for it. And, of course, it all boils down to one final cook-off at the end of the season for $25,000.
Right.
Two challenges an episode. It's like Top Chef in a hotel with Titus Burgess playing the Kristen Kish role.
Gordon, your thoughts?
It's theme and variation, but it's much more variation without a theme. I agree with Chico that all the filling is nice. Titus Burgess is fun. It's cute. But I want an identity of the show, and I don't have one.
Yeah, I don't
know. So they don't get anything wrong, but they don't do anything right either, and it feels like another Food Network competition with a little bit of a slight change to it, which it's all right, dog. C plus.
I'm going to be a little more forgiving. I'm going to give it a B minus.
I'll be in the middle and just say C. Again, I want to see a new food show that actually does something different that is not that whack-a-doodle. You know?
Yeah, I know.
And but then... but next one, oh boy, is this a climb. This is The Summit from CBS, based on the Australian version of this. Where
it's definitely a climb.
Yeah. 16 Americans have to go 100-mile, 14-day trek up a mountain in New Zealand with their share of $1 million hanging in the balance. They can only win if they meet the 2-week deadline as a team, which means they have to cut the weaker links along the way.
Yeah, and along the way, they're going to run into challenges set by the Mountain's Keeper.
Not Manu Bennett, who's the host.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Mountain's Keeper keeps tracks of the movements, aware of the procedures necessary to reach the summit, and will be keeping an eye on the group at all times, occasionally instructing the gang to get rid of somebody in order to advance. So, look good. The production value is absolutely nuts. I mean... We have, and because of that, show is very well produced. And, you know, if you're a big fan of mountain climbing and treks and adventures, if you are a fan of Survivor, this is the show for you. And normally it airs out of Survivor, so good job, CBS. Good scheduling.
Oh, I have a problem with this show. I really do. And I'll tell you why. Don't give a flying fig about mountain climbing. Don't care. Okay? Don't care. And the fact is that this is, you know what this reminds me of? Do you remember that Jason Momoa rock climbing show?
No, that's how memorable it was. I don't remember it.
Okay.
I remember Jason Momoa and a rock climbing show.
It was called The Climb. Okay. This is the exact same thing, except it's throwing Survivor elements in it. Don't like it at all. Sorry.
Gordon, your thoughts?
Now, I'll take a piece of column A and a piece of column B. The production values are absolutely beautiful on this. What I don't like about this, and Jay almost hit it on the head. Almost. But I think what Jay really wanted to say is the Survivor elements create manufactured drama.
Correct.
What would have been a lot more fun, in my mind, is to see whether or not they win as a team or they lose as a team and having to deal with the weak links. That would have been much more interesting to me to see how do we get little Susie up the mountain instead of voting little Susie off the mountain. That, for me, because, you know, you're going to find out really quickly who's going to be in and who's going to be out. It would have been much more interesting to me if they had to deal with the elements and the people and the internal stuff instead of saying, okay, you're the weak bye. It loses something for me on that. Because it would have been much more, because at the end of the day, you're just going to get the strongest survive, at least if they are, you're going to be smart about it. And it's not nearly as much fun or as intriguing for me. D, sorry.
Gordon's right. It's a D. I mean, it's a D. I want to give it a D+ because of the production values, but yeah, it's not at all memorable.
And well, for me, it's a D as well. I mean, again, like I said, I don't want to see people, you know, get stunned in a mountain climb. I just don't. Sorry, not me.
I don't have a problem with the mountain climb. The problem for me isn't the premise, it's the gameplay.
Gotcha. But speaking of which, we have questions about gameplay and about two shows, which is our friends, the basically paired shows at Haven Studios, Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right. I will start on this one, and this is a question. Question one. Has the nighttime versions of Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right, are they better than the daytime versions?
I'm going to say they are. I mean, this is not to discount the daytime versions of The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal. They are fantastic watches. Well, for me, it airs on my lunch break and I get to watch it. But again, primetime guts. It turns it into like an event, something that you have to watch. And I think that clip proves it as much because you never know what's going to happen. You don't know how they're going to react to it. It is amazing. And same with Let's Make a Deal.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. I'm going to say no. And the reason is simple. You are in Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal. The main focus is on the wealth and value of the prizes. For Price is Right, okay, fine, but it really takes away a little bit of the gameplay and the banter between Drew and George and the models because you're focusing much more on that. It really takes a lot of the gameplay away from Let's Make a Deal. It's not nearly as fun or as goofy as the daytime counterpart is. So, yeah, it's a little bit more serious. If you like serious big event, then the answer is yes. I personally don't. I like to see more personality. So, no, I'll stay with my daytime. Thank you.
Okay. I will say a little column A, a little column B, actually. I will say yes for Price is Right, no for Let's Make a Deal. I think that the Price is Right has used their nighttime to present themes in a better thematic way. Let's Make a Deal doesn't do it as well. I'm not saying they don't do it well, but they don't do it as well. Question two.
Do we see any new games this year on The Price is Right?
No. Again, right now, the last game that was introduced, wow, what was the last Price of Game introduced?
The last...
Was To the Penny, right?
Yeah, To the Penny.
And To the Penny was introduced...
Probably, I believe it was 2022 or 2021, one of those two.
I think that was a little earlier than that. It debuted September 24th, 2021.
Oh.
Okay. And the previous game to that was back to 72, 73. Okay. Back to September 20, 2021. Okay. So we are due, but I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, I want to say it's one of those things where we've got to the point on The Price is Right where if you're going to have something new, you can't just have something new to have it something new. It has to be something that it presents itself in a new and different way, something that expands and enhances the repertoire, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we get something new, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get something repurposed.
Repurposed? How do you mean?
In other words, there's going to be a game that's going to get a makeover.
Yes. I guess too.
I think I wouldn't mind seeing Secret X. I wouldn't mind seeing Switcheroo. I wouldn't mind seeing some of the really classic games get a little bit of a touch-up.
Well, I was going to go with that as the next question, but I agree with you on that.
All right, let's go with that, shall we?
I will. Question three, and then we do need to talk about Let's Make a Deal a little bit here. We talked about this on an earlier show a couple of weeks ago, but this is a great place to do it here. What games should be repurposed and need to be repurposed?
Need to be repurposed? Well, they already did any number. I'm trying to think of what is the oldest game that is currently in the rotation.
I will check that out as you talk about it.
Don't hold me to this. I believe it is Bonus Game, and they've already refurbed that, and it looks spectacular.
Okay. Well,
they've already refurbed that, and it's spectacular.
By the way, there are only 34 games that have been retired. Okay. But well, of course, they don't have it by date here on Wikipedia. Oh, okay. Here we go. Chronological list as of 2006. Okay, because we need the older games. Okay. Okay, yeah, Bonus Game. Well, Double Prices, that's been reintroduced a couple times. Grocery Game is a great one that needs to be. They need to get rid of that, the old cash register, and put up like a scanner or
that would be fun. But you know what I would bring out of retirement and definitely do something with it in terms of bringing something back? Give and Keep.
Give or Keep.
Thank you.
Right.
I love that. I love that game. I love Give and Keep.
Give or Keep.
You can make hard and challenging and twisty, which I think would be fun.
So let's see. Any number, Bonus Game, Double Prices, Grocery Game, Clock Game, of course. Five Price Tags. Well, again, they've done it, but I don't know. Money game, most expensive money game, as you said, give or keep. Range game is a good one that could be digital, maybe.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. No, I think range game would be good with that, yeah.
Then, of course, it's high-low. High-low, double Lucky 7, they've done multiple reboots of that. Temptation has been redone. Shell Game's been redone. Card Game has been redone as Carrie's
Car Club. Yeah, Carrie's Car Club, yeah.
Right. Race Game, okay.
You know what? I'm not gonna say you need to redo Race Game, but I'm also not gonna say it.
Right. Then you have 10 Chances. That's been redone at least twice, okay? Golden Road has been made over, what, about 5 times, I think?
Yeah.
Okay. Poker Game. No, that's not
right. No, Poker Game is...
Poker Game's been retired, hasn't it?
Yeah, okay. Danger Price has been redone.
But, you know, wait, I'll step right there, though. Poker Game would be a fun game to do with, like, 4 small $1,000, $2,000 prizes.
Agreed. Uh-huh. Then you have One Right Price, which, okay. Danger Price has been redone. 3 Strikes has been redone beautifully. Good grief.
Yeah, it really bothers me that they bring that out only so much.
Okay, then you have Cliffhangers. I'm talking active games now. Safe Crackers. Dice Game has been redone multiple times.
Well,
you know what? I think that Dice Game could be digital. Okay.
Yeah.
Switcheroo, Hole in One or Two, right? Squeeze Play, Secret X, that's a definite one that could be. Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Take Two has been redone. Oh, one of my favorite games. It's optional. I'd love to see that game come back. Punch a Bunch has been redone. The Bargain Game, Barker's Bargain Bar. Grand Game's been redone. Blank Check has been redone, the check game. Checkout's been redone. Pick a Pair's been redone. Plinko's been redone. Master Key. Love the way they did Master Key. One Away could be digital.
It could
one
be.
One Away could be digital. Pathfinder. Spelling Bee. Make Your Move. 2 for the price of 1. And then we're getting into 90s games and... Yeah, I mean, if you really want to go into that, so.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that can definitely be redone. But
yes.
But we'll go over that
at another time. Number 4. What does Let's Make a Deal have to do to tweak its formula a little bit to be more interactive, per se?
An all Tic Tac Deal marathon episode.
Ha ha ha! They tried that with Plinko. You saw what happened.
Yes, but this is not Plinko. It's dice, not chips.
Yeah, I know, but you know what I mean.
Okay, in all seriousness, I'm not sure they have to do that much. You know, I mean, keep in mind, you had the homies once upon a time. You had the Let's Make a Deal homies.
Okay.
Which were good until it's not. You know, and I like that. I think if anything, it's going to, but I say this because I think they've already been doing it, which is agreeing with or staying in step with Price is Right and sort of gives that they're giving out. Keep in mind, Price is Right has got a much bigger budget than Deal. So Deal's got to do more with the less.
Indeed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But, go ahead.
I'm just saying, what about, because remember, all three of us are old enough to remember when Price is Right did Play Along back in the 80s.
The phone home game.
Yeah, make something that, you know, if make a game designated as like a play-along game, and if they win on stage, then whoever wins with them also wins that prize. That would be pretty cool.
But here's the problem. Here's the thing. You have to do it in such a way that you have to discourage, shall we say, nefarious means of things, if you know what I mean.
I don't really know if I can screw that up and let's make a deal.
Price is Right again, is a little different.
Yeah, Price is Right is a little bit different. So, again, there's ways that you can do it. I think Phone Home Game was a really good example of how you can do it without the nefariousness that's involved. Because you have the person at home with the answers and the player that you can just monitor.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't know.
Okay, question 5. Gordon, do you have one? Because you haven't asked one, I don't think.
No, I'm good because question 5 is the last one. So
we have one for Price is Right and one for Let's Make a Deal. So that's the thing.
All right, fine. So let's do the deal numbers first.
All right. Last season, Let's Make a Deal averaged a 1.5. This season, Let's Make a Deal gets
1.6. Again, Let's Make a Deal is just one of the best performers on TV. So, yeah.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Let's Make a Deal is a prime time, is a peak performer in daytime. And that's part of why CBS is number one in daytime.
Do you have the right?
Yeah, I'm 1.6.
All right. And the last one.
Last season, The Price is Right averaged a 2.5. This season, Last season, The Price is Right averaged a 2.6. This season, The Price is Right will average
a 2.8. Price is Right is the hotter show right now. Drew's on fire right now. It's that good.
It is very good. I think it keeps going. I think it's going to be a 2.8. I love to see what they do for season 53.
I'm not sure I am as high up. I do agree with you on that. But I'll go be a little bit more modest. 2.7.
Okay.
All right. And it took a while, but we finally asked all the questions that we can think of asking for the fall.
And that means we need to take a break. The Super Toilet is back with a ton of shows, and we have lots of news to cover. So,
yes, all the news you didn't even know you needed to know is right on the other side of this break, including when game shows haven't been your way this week, this month, or even this year.
Ha, ha, ha. Okay.
With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6 day with 5-1. You're home for We Love Twitter Up. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different ways that we can, shall we say, modernize the Survivor Island.
Ooh, hot tubs.
AI. There's got to be
AI?
There's got to be some room for AI on an island, okay?
Pool table. I'll be happy with the pool table. You know, they in the first season of Survivor, they actually tried to do a makeshift modified bowling alley.
Nice. You know what? I could totally dig a bowling alley or even a ping pong table. Mm-hmm. Or if you can make a deck of cards, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, that would be a good idea. But anyway, we'll figure all of this out over the break. We'll be right back.
Disaster victims need your help today. Throughout the United States, disasters are destroying homes and devastating lives. Disasters like the recent hurricane. You can help victims of disasters by supporting the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund. This fund enables the Red Cross to provide shelter, food, counseling, and other assistance to victims of disasters. To find out how you can help, call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
And brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Hey, the Panthers got a break. Oh, no, they do. That's going to hurt. At least the Giants got to win. Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Ramsey's done right.
No, they didn't.
Well, they lost to Dallas, but at least they got a win, so November 10th won't be the somebody's going to get a win bowl.
That's true.
Both teams, 1-3.
Congratulations, I guess. Anyway.
Lot of news, not a lot of time. Gordon, the cue.
Face it pays, Gordon.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and Tracks Productions. And don't forget, you listen every Sunday on Rock 104 for Doug Morris on Rock Tracks with Doug Morris. 104, that's Rock 104. 104 WXR 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known on rock104fm.com, on the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. Okay, it's a blue bat with an HBO logo on it.
Okay.
Because we've got two shows coming on Max. First one, I alluded to in the break, it is a celebration of 30 years of Friends on a show called Fast Friends. It is a Friends fan competition scheduled to start production this month at the Friends Experience, the one in New York City, with Whitney Cummings as host.
Oh, yay.
Lovely.
Not a fan of hers.
I think it's a cute idea. It's cute. It's got some legs. It could work.
Yeah.
Sort of, kind of.
Well, how about this? Roller Jam.
I remember that.
It's not what you think it is. Imagine Dancing with the Stars on roller skates.
Starlight Express on line one.
Starlight Express! 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 Starlight Express!
Yeah, something like that. Roller Jam premieres on October 10th with Jordan Sparks as host. And roller dancing crews competing for $150,000 and a $10,000 donation to their local rink.
If it's actually roller jam crews that sort of know what they're doing, this could be fun.
I remember that.
If it turns into celebrities, then blah.
Yeah. Teams will be judged by two-time U.S. Olympian and national figure skating champion Johnny Weir. Roller skating legend.
Okay, which is all okay. Always fun.
Yeah. Roller skating legend Terrell Ferguson and a celebrity guest judge, including Michelle Williams, Maureen McCormick, Peppa, Marissa Jarrett Winoker, Debbie Gibson, and of course, one of the creators of this show, Joanna Gaines.
Okay.
You lost it with me with Marissa Winoker. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, you had me at Marsha Brady, you lost me at Joanna Gaines.
Pretty much.
But that's, yeah, and then we have Wizards of Baking, Bake Offs and the Harry Potter Universe, hosted by Fred and George Weasley themselves, James and Oliver Phelps. That's going to be on Max and Food Network.
Okay.
But right now, let's talk about the next week, Jason.
Yes, I can. As we record this, Thursday is the series premieres of Scrabble and Trivial Pursuit. I have them both on my DVR. Friday is Whose Line Is It Anyway on the CW. Sunday with Misty Maytrainer and Kayla Mulati. Sunday is the season finale of High Stakes Poker. Monday is the Kids Baking Championship. Scary good. And Price is Right at Night, we talked about it. Cars. Tuesday is the Killer Cakes special on Prime. And my sister loves this show, Culinary Class Wars on Netflix. And then, of course, the season premiere of House of Villains on Bravo, USA Sci-Fi, and E! Let's talk about Dad Apto, and this is good.
All right, so over this week, one of our favorite channels on YouTube released an episode of My So-Called Gen X Life, which focused on the Press Your Luck scandal, which if you are a real one, you know all about it. Actually, you know 95% of it, because there was stuff on that thing that I didn't even know.
Like what? About the showing of the computers or what?
No, Michael Larson being sort of a sketchy character.
Are you kidding me? Michael Larson was always a sketchy character. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just saying I didn't know how sketchy he was, okay?
Okay, fine.
So there's that. So if you want to go on YouTube and watch it, it's My So-Called Gen X Life. By the way, a wild Brian Henniger does make an appearance, so... If you want, if you're a sort of a movie person, IFC's got you. Because IFC Films and Sapin Studios have acquired the U.S. rights to The Luckiest Man in America, which is based on a true story of Michael Larson and Press Your Luck. Of course, it stars Paul Walter Hauser as the man himself and Walton Goggins as Peter Tamarkin.
Ooh, I don't know. Well, okay.
Robert,
I don't know about that.
He's on Fallout. And
I know who he is. Okay, I know who he is. And B, I love his work. I don't know if he could pull off Peter Tamarkin. That's all. I will say, though, Gordon, Paul Walter Hauser looks exactly like Michael Larson. He really does.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see this.
I'm very interested.
I really am. I think there's like two or three different versions of this. Eventually, that's going to come out.
And by the way, it was released as part of the Toronto International Film Festival. Critics loved it.
Yeah, I know. It's been one of the hotter movies out of the TIFF. So,
I can't wait for this.
I can't wait for this, but, you know, that's smart. This, not so smart.
That's dumb.
Okay. Now, we were all trying to let the Golden Bachelorette be the Golden Bachelorette and usher in this new era of niceness and all that. Well, not really. Okay? Because one of the Golden Bachelorette's contestants is going to have his time on the TV show cut because his name is Gilmer Mirrors, had a TRO filed against him 3 months ago by an ex-girlfriend, according to People Magazine. In a June court filing, the ex-girlfriend accused him of stalking, harassment, claiming he made up to 25 attempts daily via phone, text, and video, and showed up at places I frequent to confront me on a daily basis. Ooh, boy. Now, Gordon, you're a producer, right?
Yeah.
I want you to hear this media explanation, okay? The court filing occurred in the brief period between completion of our thorough background investigation and exhaustive vetting process at the beginning of production. The source added now that producers are aware of them and they have further edited already limited screen time and minimized him in promotional assets moving forward. Can you translate that for me, please?
Yes, we took lessons from the Cherry Pie School of how to edit yourself out of a series.
Okay.
So if you remember, that's sort of what RuPaul's Drag Race had to do once there are allegations that happened during the season.
That now, was the pandemic season, that, right, I believe?
It was.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can't completely eliminate them from the show. But yeah, you can kill the airtime, and then once they leave, they leave. Now, obviously, if they're killing the airtime, he probably is not as significant. So maybe they'll get away with that. Maybe. Hopefully. We'll see. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's unfortunate because as a producer, you know, you got to hope that everybody is on the up and up in terms of contestants selection. That's one of the reasons why it's that important.
I agree with you 100% on that. I really do. But I am thirsty for some haterade, and I need some names to talk about here. Go ahead.
Haterade!
So, Will Kirby, Dr. Will Kirby, is not going to be hosting the jury roundtable. When in the finale, he said in a Parade interview, it's simply time to hang up the proverbial cleats. The run I've had on a show, first as a contestant and then as a host, is practically unheard of, but nothing lasts forever. I'm ready to pass the reality TV baton. He added, I have nothing but immense gratitude for the at CBS Big Brother producers, the fans, and most especially those contestants who entertain us with their dynamic gameplay. I salute them all. We don't have a replacement yet. Name one.
Taylor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If Taylor wants to do it, I want her to do it.
What do you think? What do you think, Gordon?
Well, my first thought is either A, you didn't pay me enough, or B, I'm getting reduction, you can't fire me, I quit.
Okay.
From Haterland. I think Taylor's a good choice. You know, she's definitely iconic in Big Brother, and she's got a nice personality, both of which you need for a role like that, especially if she's going to ask the hard questions. Is she? We'll see.
We will see. I would love to see it. I really would. I would love to see that. But what I would like to see is where we're going to send Gil Ramirez and Dr. Will. I think we're going to Australia, right?
We are going to Australia, and we have a bit of news coming out of Australia because there is a new twist as we begin the new season of The Chase. There is a big change coming to The Chase, and it is the Mega Money Spinner.
Okay.
Mega Money Spinner will allow contestants who have made it through to the final chase to answer 10 correct questions to win $50,000 or 15 correct questions for $100,000. According to super nerd Issa Schultz, it's the first change we've done to the show, sort of ever, really, in all these years. A lot of reasons I get is we should give more money away. So, hey, that's what we're going to do. After their final chase, teams can spin up an amount up to $100,000, which I don't play for, thankfully. But if I lose then, well, they win it. We've seen very happy teams already.
I don't understand this.
Understand it either. I mean, what is this adding to the show? What is this taking away from the show? I don't get it.
Well, it's adding a budget, but the thrill isn't the amount of money that's given out. The thrill is watching the chase and the competition that way. So,
And Seven has said that the Mega Money Spinner, Seven Australia, said that it is a recurring new format point, so it's not clear how often it will come into play in the weeks to come.
Okay, we'll see. I need to see this. I need to see the execution of it. Okay, before again, anything.
But again, in order to win the money, they have to beat the Chaser.
Okay. Hopefully we'll get some media pros out of that.
I got pros. I got pros. In different area codes.
In this week's media pro report, we have the first look of Carrie Underwood and the judges on American Idol. Allison Sweeney, hey, remember her? She's about to star in her 30th Hallmark movie. Congratulations. Cartier Brown resides with Food Network. Jimmy Carr, former subject on What's My Line, turns 100 years old. Happy birthday, Mr. President. John Amos sadly passes away. He was on Liars Club and the Hollywood Squares.
The Miz is selling his L.A. house. Asking price, $12
million. Whee!
By the way, he was a house on. He was a host on that water park show. So
Cannonball. Cannonball.
Yeah, Cannonball. Yep.
Okay. Anna Delvey addresses her nothing comments.
Was nothing.
Joe Manganiello is headed for the Grand Line on season 2 of One Piece, which is a really good show if you haven't watched it. We lost Drake Hagestein from Days of Our Lives and Dikembe Mutombo. And Kenzie Petty is a new mom.
Yay.
Congratulations. But none of those is your pro of the week. And this pro comes with his own bat.
Oh?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
He has been tapped to host Destination X for NBC.
Correct.
Yep. And based on the format from Belgium, it will take players to an unknown organization, an unknown location, and they have to figure out where they are.
Okay.
And Jeffrey D. Morgan says, Destination X captivated me with its blend of travel, mystery, and gaming. I can't wait to embark on this wild guessing game across the globe as Master of Ceremony, navigating players through challenges that test their mental and physical ability.
Yay.
That's cute. Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. Yay.
Yay.
All right.
And those are your hoes.
And that is great. And that is great. Jason, if you would please.
I'm shutting down right here and bringing out the Super Toilet, because we got a lot of shows and not a lot of time. That's Push or Flush right after this here at 5 and 1. We'll be back.
WLTI is presented by The Summit, Magic Mountain. You and a bunch of other thrill seekers are carrying your share of $1 million. You're going to have to make your way from Gold Rusher, the mild mine train roller coaster, to the crown gem of the park, Twisted Colossus. How much of the money can you hold on to, and how much of your lunch can you hold on to? That is The Summit up Six Flags Magic Mountain, coming soon to a thrill park near you.
I need a hurl. Anyway, not a lot of time.
We have memories of 3D Park, just saying. Anyway.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun. Not a lot of time, a lot of shows. If you don't know, if you know the format, just listen along. Here we go. This, we start with Bell Please. September 23rd, Family Feud Season 26. Play the theme, really.
Are we really going there? Okay.
Okay, September 24th. Bell. Bell, please. Thank you. Last Bite Hotel on Food and Max. Not as good as it should. Not as good as it should have been, but not as bad as it is. Piggle?
Piggle is correct.
Sure, I'll make it a threesome.
Okay.
Quinn Martin production.
Very good. Yeah, please. Is season 12 of The Masked Singer. Yeah, the thing is that, again, it's worn out as welcome. I just jiggle this. This show is way past its prime.
I don't know. I'm still a bit of a fan of it, but that's just me. I enjoy this sort of thing.
So?
It's a piggle for me.
Yeah, I agree, too. It's a piggle for me. It could be interesting.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Next one. This would be on the same night. The Floor, a season 2. Expanded to 100 players from 81, or was it 64?
Yeah, it was 81 season 1. Now it's up to 100. And if I could be so honest, this show is better than it has any right to be. It's a pastry.
It is definitely a pastry for me. It's a show. I mean, is it repetitive? Yeah, but it works. So pastry.
Yeah, the only thing I'm worried about on this is, you know, how far they can take the concept, because the concept can be taken farther than what currently is there. Pastry's good.
Pastry's very good, and so is this show. Another good show on Fox.
Hell's Kitchen. Season 23, I believe, filmed at Foxwoods here in Connecticut. Okay.
Yep. You and Gordon can road trip up there. Me, not so much.
Not so much. Again, long in the tooth, yes, but Gordon Ramsay has evolved into a culinary superstar. Not a fan of this version of Gordon Ramsay, but it works. Pastry.
Pastry.
Yeah, pastry sounds good.
Okay, yep. Next one.
Speaking of pastries, Crime Scene Kitchen. The long-awaited third season.
Okay. I'm sorry. This show does absolutely nothing for me, and especially Joel McHale. That being said, I understand its success, and I hate to do this, but pastry. Ugh.
I have to agree with Jason. It's a pastry, and here's the thing. Joel McHale aside, the game mechanic is quite sound.
The game mechanic is quite sound. I agree with Chico on this, and it's not as horrific as what everybody says that it is. So pastry for me, too.
Okay.
Buttery pastry. Next one. We're doing 35 seasons of this? Holy cow. America's Funniest Home Videos is back.
Wow. Not the worst show on TV. Can't believe it is on TV, but it's a jiggle for me. Sorry. Not funny any.
I'm actually quite surprised that in the instant gratification YouTube TikTok age, this show is still pulling the numbers it does. So I'm going to give it a pastry.
I'm going to give it a pastry too. But you want to talk about interactivity? This is a show that could use some interactivity. Pastry.
Yep. Next one.
The Summit on CBS. We talked about this.
Yeah, it's it's a jiggle.
It is an absolute jiggle for me. And again, no me gusta montañas in this particular case. So,
I had a bad experience with mountains as a child.
Mm-hmm. Gordon.
I'm not going to be as harsh as you guys are. It's a pickle for me, but I can understand why you want to be harsh.
Okay.
Okay.
Next one. Outrageous Pumpkins.
Is this the one where they it's like massive carvings of pumpkins sort of deal?
That is the one.
Food Network does this well. It's one of, again, when they do it right, they do it right. And there's a reason why it's at season 5. Push.
I am pushing as well because I love the artistry. I love how incredibly creative all of the players are. And, you know, bars are pushed, let's just say.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to give it more than a pastry. I think, and I remember seeing this a couple of episodes ago, this is good, but there's other shows on the docket on the same network that do this concept better. Pastry.
Okay. Next up. Forged in Fire, Instruments of Death.
Again, one of the better shows on history, and one of the better competition shows, period. Pastry.
I'm going...
I got to go with Jason on this. Pastry.
I'm also pastry. I'm a big fan of the show. I'm a big fan of the history behind the show. I'm convinced that when you take all of the death and violence out of it, it is a family show. Next up are two heavies for tomorrow. The first one is Scrabble with Raven Simone on the CW.
Not the one I'm looking forward to of the two. That being said, I want to see what it does. Pastry.
I'm going to pastry this. I've seen previews of it online. It is really good looking. I want to see how they play this out. I want to see how they intend to keep it confined within the hour.
I'm going to pastry also. I'm ridiculously dreaming with Chico and Jay on this stuff, which concerns me greatly sometimes.
Okay.
I'm a learned gentleman, good sir.
And finally,
LeVar Burton finally gets Trivial Pursuit on the CW.
I've seen clips of this too. This is the one I'm looking forward to, and I believe he's going to learn how to be a host. And yes, the Jeopardy audition got him this gig. I'm looking forward to it. And yes, a couple of friends of ours are on the show. Pastry.
I'll tell you right now, I can't wait to see how they structure this game. I've always loved Trivial Pursuit on television, the Wink Martindale version, Chris Knight version. Well, the Wink Martindale version more than the Chris Knight version. But I can't wait to see what they do with this. I'm going to pastry.
Yeah, I'm going to pastry this also. I think we're all sitting here waiting with bated breath because they usually don't do this sort of alley stuff too well. So, maybe pastry?
Exactly. I mean,
I'll go pastry, but I have to realize that I can turn on this very easy if it doesn't bring out what I want it to.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, indeed. I'm assuming we kill the toilet next week, yes?
We kill the toilet next week, and I can't wait. I got the sledgehammer right here, y'all. I got the sledgehammer right here. But before we get to next week, we got to get through the big finish. The speed round is next on WLTI on 5&1. We'll be right back.
Run.
by Fire Me Please. Which NFL coach is going to see the exit? You have a number of coaches whose Patunski can be on the line should they lose. Let's see the fun that ensues. As is Fire Me Please, NFL Coaching Edition.
Doug Motherfucker Peterson in Jacksonville. Just saying. He's first. Okay?
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence, that overpaid you-know-what, has not won a game in 9 starts. Come on, people.
Hey, remember when Trevor Lawrence was actually the next thing in football?
I don't think it's Trevor Lawrence's fault. I think the offensive line just isn't there. The offensive line is offensive.
We talked about that. There was 98 sacks in week 3. Remember? VRM did that. But that's for another show. What we have is a speed round, and let's do it. Now, Big Brother, what happens in the veto competition?
I think Mackenzie wins the veto and keeps the noms intact and gets rid of Chemo.
Yeah, if they're smart, they need to remove Chemo now, as in earlier. And I think they will be in this case.
Yep.
Survivor, who goes away now?
Man, it's going to be really, really tough to figure out who goes, but we've seen how Rome played his veto. He's not as vulnerable as you think he is. Saul just lightly, so we'll see what happens with him.
I'm trying to figure out how Andy is still in this game. Oh, wait, they haven't gone back to Tribal.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think things change if they do.
Jeopardy, Wheel of Champions still?
I think we're going to see another game or two out of Mr. Manson, Ryan Manson. I've quizzed with him. He is every bit the player that you see on TV.
Price is Right at night. Do we get to see a 6-figure car given away?
I think we'll see one. I'm not sure it goes away, but we'll definitely see a couple.
Yeah, we're going to see a couple. It's going to be... If one is given away, I'll consider it a win.
Okay, do we have any mail?
We do not, I'm afraid, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. Follow us on all social media at Game Show News Net. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end.
I am at GSN and Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5N1Net. That's the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about everything that comes down on the network. Now, I had a real-life emergency, so JVRM and Ian held court on the BS yesterday.
Yes, we did. And we talked about week 4 action. We also talked about how bad the Jaguars are. We talked about how bad the Giants and Jets were because they didn't even score a touchdown this week. But we also talked about how TME and McClin, we have the 4-0 Vikings are the best team in football. What? Yep. We talked about that and all that, and we'll talk about week 5 next week. We have our first London game going on.
London calling, yes. something.
Yes, exactly. And of course, Gordon, UBA.info. What's going on in the Underground Bowling Association?
Well, we just finished our first set of tour stops. So that is now done. The season is fully in bloom. And when October rolls around, we're going to have more fun. Unholy Alliance, middle near the end of October. In the Southeast, got to love it.
All right. Of course, the NAWC. We're going to be talking about, we have Pick'ems this week because Bad Blood is going to be in Atlanta. AEW just celebrated its 50-year anniversary with a renewal of its media deal with Warner Brothers. And guess what, folks? You will get to see the AEW pay-per-views maybe soon on Max, you see. Maybe doing a pay-per-view deal, just like Peacock. But yeah, the $170 million a year, which I think is pretty good considering AEW stuff. We'll also talk about the CW's move to the NXT's move to the CW, and how CM Punk bought the crowd Lou Malnati's pizza at the end. So we have a reboot of that, and it's going to be a wild ride as we head towards Bad Blood at the end of the year, believe it or not, in wrestling. It was a thing. What's happening there?
Okay, so we are beginning the next 500 episodes with today's FBI, with Mike Connors and a crack team of FBI agents. It's not your old white guys in suits. It's today's FBI. It's more inclusive, more diverse, and more scientific than ever before for 1981. And because it's past midnight here on the East Coast, we dropped a new one, Hometown Commercials Volume 5. The best in low-budget, goofy, and bizarre commercials. We picked out our 15, 16 favorites. They're up on site right now. I'll tell you right now, we do have the return of the Special Man and Lowell the Hammer Stanley.
Okay.
And if you're a fan of West Coast car commercials, we've got the Pete Ellis one. 91 Freeway, Lakewood, Exit, Bell, Flower. So that's on It Was a Thing on TV.com. Next week, we've been looking forward to this for the last half year. Next week, we review Scrabble and Trivial Pursuit on the CW. Are we going to be spellbound? Or are we just going to stare like we have no idea what's going on? We'll find out next week here on The World's Strongest. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5&1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Great.
Yeah.